Hey friends, we trust your summer's off to a great start. Guess what? The Romans 12 Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast just hit 50. Yes, we just dropped our 50th episode, which we wanted to celebrate with you, our dear partners and listeners and subscribers. When we first began thinking of creating a podcast as a branch of what we do here at Romans 12 Ministries, we hoped that the stories and topics would encourage not only ministry leaders and their families, but those who desire to hear what God is doing in and through a variety of people. And from your feedback, we are humbled how Jesus is using this podcast. So thank you for your faithfulness. And we are committed to our mission, which is, by God's grace and goodness, we refresh and restore ministry leaders and their families. And guess what? If you're alive and a follower of Christ, you are in ministry. So to mark our 50th podcast, we are going to, well, we're going to rest a little bit, but we are excited to offer you the best of, yep, our most listened to podcasts these past 2 years. Enjoy them, and we will return the first week in August with new stories of hope for those on the front lines of ministry, which includes you and me.
I don't have to agree with them over some of the political issues, but there are well thought out, biblically literate positions that land at a different place than where I do. And I have to respect it, even if I don't agree with it.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast committed to bringing stories of hope and insight to those on the front lines of Christian ministry. Our desire is for all of us to see, sense, and experience God's voice through their stories. And through these stories, we may see His hand and hear His voice in our lives. The Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast is brought to you by Romans 12 Ministries, where we are wildly committed to transforming the church, one pastor, missionary, and ministry leader at a time.
You see the signs on the corner, you watch the commercials on TV, and they flood and float around us as you search the internet. Yep, it's election time, if you haven't noticed, and millions of dollars are being spent to sway your vote. Supporters are walking around the neighborhoods, knocking on doors, giving out pamphlets. The political analysts are crunching their numbers, and people are yelling and fighting over issues. You know, no wonder George Washington really encouraged us and warned us about the political divisions of parties in his farewell address in 1796. But here's the question that I have with my guest today. What is the role of Christians in this political divisive climate? My guest today is Mr. Dave Drum, Executive Director of J17 Ministries, and the author of a new book called Peace Talks, The Good News of Jesus in a Donkey-Elephant War. You will enjoy this conversation and maybe some new thoughts when we go into the idea of politics and talking with our neighbors who might be different than us. My name is David Town, the host of the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast. Well, Dave Drum, thanks for coming back.
My pleasure.
All right, November 8th is coming up.
It is.
And that's kind of a big day in our country.
It is.
Big election day, and you have written a book, and it's a unique title. I like it. I'm going to tell you. Peace Talks, The Good News of Jesus in a Donkey-Elephant War.
Yep.
Tell me about that.
So this book helps to talk some about the reasons that we're in the mess that we are, and there's a bunch of them. There's a lot of different factors that have contributed to our hyper-partisanship. And whenever I get the opportunity to talk about this, I always ask the question, and the answer is always the same. Are we on a sustainable trajectory? And everybody pretty much agrees, no, we're not. We cannot keep going down the path that we're going. The book talks then about Jesus is bigger than the gap that divides us, and he's in both parties. He's got followers of his in both parties. And so we talk about some elephant favorites and some donkey favorites that all have biblical background and support on their side. I'm interested in being a biblically literate Christian, so I'm not interested in just viewpoints, but viewpoints that can be supported by the scriptures. And then it's got several chapters of solutions, recommendations, things that we can do so that we can be part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Well, you know, writing a book is not easy.
It is not.
And you've written a couple. So what made you decide to do this, take on this challenge?
Well, there's no question that politics is like anathema to the church. The church, if it engages, then that doesn't go well. It typically withdraws and doesn't engage at all. But that's not why I wrote the book. I wrote it for more personal reasons, because my family was one of the families that was getting ripped apart by political arguments. And so we had to learn as a family how to navigate some of these waters. And in fact, when I first felt like God was calling me to write this book, my oldest son was interested in the topic and asking me all kinds of questions. And at one point he says, "Well, Dad, I think I should help you write the book." And he's not a follower of Jesus. And so I said, "Well, you do understand that my working title is The Good News of Jesus in a Donkey Elephant War." And he's like, "Yes, I get that. But isn't one of your main points that people who have different backgrounds and different viewpoints can still learn how to talk to each other respectfully?" And I said, "Yes, that is one of my main points." And he said, "Then I think I should help you write the book." So he wrote one of the chapters.
Wow. You know what? That's a testament of the relationship that you've built with him, to be able to even have that conversation.
Yeah.
And for him willing to do that with you.
It's been great. We've worked hard at our relationships with our kids. And we don't see everything the same way, but we have strong relationships. And so family vacations are not something where we cringe waiting for the other shoe to drop. We look forward to spending time together.
That's beautiful. So one of the things, as I've heard you talk and I've looked at this book, you've talked a little bit about the Western worldview when it comes to politics.
Yep.
Dissect that a little bit for me.
Yeah. So a Western worldview is very individualistic, and it tends to fall into either or camps. It's either this or that. A biblical worldview, more often than not, is a both and worldview. So a lot of Westerners struggle with the notion that Jesus could be fully human and fully divine, because our default mechanism is either or. It's got to be one or the other. And if they appear to come into a conflict, then which one is it? Whereas a biblical worldview is, it's not one or the other, it's both. It's a both and. And there are literally dozens of examples that we could cite where the Bible takes two things that appear to be in tension, truth and grace would be a good example, and says, no, it's not one or the other, it's both. We've got to hold them in tension. And so our Western worldview automatically has us defaulting to Republican or Democrat, where I think a biblical worldview would be to say, is there truth in both camps that we could celebrate? Again, not denying our biblical background or our faith heritage, but are there some areas that we could celebrate that both parties champion?
And I don't see that a lot happening.
I don't see it a lot happening either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hence the need of this book.
Correct.
I mean, really. Then when it comes to, I mean, one of the things that you kind of hit upon is just communication, just how we talk to each other in our world now with, I mean, when I first started teaching, I mean, my room was a chalkboard and, if I was lucky, a working overhead.
Yes.
That was it. And so communication was so different back then between parents, between teachers, and so on. That's true with pastors now.
Yes.
Communication is totally different. How has that helped or hurt this idea of politics in the church?
I think it's made it a lot more challenging. A lot of us listening to this podcast will remember when email came out and the warnings that we were all given. If you're in the middle of a conflict, do not just fire off some snappy email because it's easy to do that, but don't fall into that trap. And a lot of us had to learn that lesson the hard way. Mm-hmm. Well, email was one thing, but social media is a whole different animal because you don't even have to write the message. Somebody else writes the message and you just forward it, like it, send it along to all of your friends, and you're offending people that you aren't even thinking about because you're not thinking about the person on the receiving end of that message that you didn't even write, but you thought was cute, so you passed it along. And so I think communication is a lot more challenging because there's a lot less friction. We're not thinking about exercising self-control, which we would do in a face-to-face conversation, more of at least. We would hope to exercise more self-control if we were sitting across a dinner table. But social media self-control is just completely gone.
Mm-hmm. I remember vividly, and it wasn't too long ago, a dear friend of mine, Christian brother, sent out on Facebook a very, I felt, harsh message politically. Mm-hmm. And it brought up the emotions for me.
Yep.
Even though we probably believe in some of the same big issues, but there was such a harshness. There was such a division there. And I didn't see a lot of love. That's happened to a lot of people. I mean, in the last 4 or 5 years, families have been divided and churches have been divided. What advice would you give when you see something like that on social media or something that comes across that's really not unifying?
Yeah. Well, I think we need to have the courage to engage in the conversation. And that's hard to do because we don't want to offend many of us. There's some of us that seem to like picking fights, but a majority tend to want to keep the peace. And so it's easier to not say anything. But we don't learn. The biblical advice is speak the truth in love. So the first word of that statement is speak. And we've got to learn how to speak up and raise the question. And we can do it in respectful ways. You don't come in with both guns blazing. You come in asking questions. Help me understand. Just some simple communication tools that will help get us where we want to go.
So I think we need a lesson on the etiquette of conversation then.
Absolutely.
Without really trying to change everybody.
Yeah.
But there are some topics that are like hot topics when it comes to politics.
Yep.
You know, whether it's the border, whether it's the abortion issue, whether it's gay marriage. I mean, we can go down the line.
Yep.
That really are divisive.
And,
yes. And so how do you go about doing that when you feel so strongly about an issue?
Yeah. Well, let me tell a little story because it's the genesis of this phrase. And there's a little three-word phrase that's like gold in these conversations, and we use it all the time. So 10 years ago, there was an African-American pastor. I was just starting in some of the citywide work, and he called me up one day. I had gotten to know him a little bit better in recent months, and so he felt safe to raise the topic. And he said, it seems to us, and I knew that us meant fellow African-American pastors and leaders, it seems to us that there was a lot more prayer for the president when it was Bush than in these last 3 years when it's been Obama. Could we talk about that? And I was so thankful in that moment that, because at the time I was still a Fox News junkie, I wasn't yet in detox. And so what was going through my head was all kinds of defensive remarks. But I was so thankful for the filter that God put in our brain so that not everything that crosses our mind is required to come out of our mouth. We can engage the filter. And the filter kicked in. And so what came out of my mouth was, that sounds really important. Let's get some people together to Excellent. Talk about that. And so we've had a group of African-American and Anglo pastors who talk politics and talk racial issues and talk really hard topics, but our unity in Christ keeps us grounded and our love for one another has grown so much that this group has met monthly now for 10 years. And in the process of our conversations, we learned a little three-word phrase that has navigated us through these difficult topics. And we've talked about the ones that you just mentioned and plenty of others as well. And the three-word phrase is simply, help me understand. Help me understand what's important to you when you go to the ballot box. Help me understand how you as an African American are processing the events in Ferguson. Help me understand how it is that so many white evangelicals support President Trump. Help me understand, and tough issues, hard, divisive issues, but help me understand is a humble phrase. It's a respectful phrase. It puts me in a listening posture. It's an honoring phrase to the other person that says, I see you as an intelligent person who's probably thought about this and probably has some reasons for why you do the things that you do. And I would like to learn from those. And I may not agree with them, but I want to understand you better and what makes you tick. And so help me understand. So I have used that in so many different settings with my kids, in any contentious conversation. Just help me understand what was going on for you when you decided to make that social media post. That's the way to start the conversation.
That's a great way. I'm going to use that tonight with my wife.
Yeah.
Help me understand why you threw away my old t-shirts. Help me understand, because those really are important. So pastors, let's just talk about pastors. How do they navigate, or should they, this tension within the church? I mean, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, mask, no mask, these poor pastors.
Yeah.
How do they navigate it, or do they just kind of stick their head in the sand and say, let's just preach the Bible and not get into some controversial stuff?
Well, as much as that might be an attractive option, I don't think it's our best option. And I don't think it works. I mean, with the masks, you couldn't avoid that. You were forced to take a position one way or the other, and the politics got involved in it, and every pastor I know lost members over the pandemic and how they chose to handle things. And it didn't matter how you chose to handle it. And most pastors lost members over the racial tension and how they chose to handle it, whether they chose to speak up about it or not speak up about it, and if they spoke up about it, what they said or what they didn't say. So it's pretty unavoidable. So I think we're at a place where let's teach our people how to be kingdom-minded and put kingdom first, and how to have these conversations. Let's teach our people how to have a help me understand viewpoint. And there's plenty of biblical passages that we can use to help with that. Whether it was Jews-Gentiles, which was a huge conflict, racial conflict, theological conflict, lots of issues behind all of that. Well, the church figured out a way how to navigate through some of that. Romans 14 is a wonderful example where the issue was food sacrificed to idols. And there were some folks that felt like you should stay far, far away from that, and others that said, we know that the idols aren't real, so what's the big deal? And it was splitting groups apart. And so there's great biblical background. We don't have the same issues today, but the same principles apply. And so I think it's interesting that Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. So we're called to make peace, which means we're going to have to engage in the hard conversations. We're going to have to be willing to have some of those conversations. But let's do so in respectful ways that make it safe for people who come from a lot of different backgrounds. We're trying to reach the world, right? So the world has to be able to engage with us in some of these important topics. And we won't do it perfectly, but if we have a grace-oriented environment, then we can learn how to navigate some of these waters in more effective ways.
With civility.
With civility.
That is, I think, the key to be able to do that. So help me understand.
Yep.
Go into it with a humble heart.
Yep.
What are some other ways that we as Christians can be light and salt in this very divisive world?
Yeah. Well, a simple one, and it's going to sound like brain dead obvious, but I don't think most of us do this. A simple one is just make friends with people who have different backgrounds than you do. And you probably already have some of those friends. Most churches have both political parties represented in them, even if one party is incognito. Most churches have both. So we probably have some of these folks, but we've fight or flight is how we tend to view politics. And a lot of believers choose the flight option and choose just not to engage at all. Well, the old polite dinner time conversation rule that the two things you never talk about over dinner are religion and politics, that rule's got to go. It's not helping us. Where else is a better place to talk about religion, talk about our faith, as well as talk about things that are important for us as a nation? If we can't talk about it over dinner with somebody that we already know and love, then what hope is there for civil discourse in the world at large? So make friends and utilize that help me understand phrase on a regular basis. Do what our pastor partnership has done, because we're so much richer as a result of it. Everyone in the group would say they've learned so much out of having some of those hard conversations from a mutually respectful vantage point. And we're the losers when we don't engage in some of those. So get with somebody who's got a different ethnic background than you do and ask them what's important to them when they go to the polls, and then listen. And probably, there's no guarantee of this, but if you tell them, help me understand, there's a good possibility that they'll reciprocate and say, help me understand what's important to you. And then you can talk to somebody who's actually listening instead of just talking to the hand, which is much less fun.
Thank you for listening to the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast, which is a ministry of Romans 12 Ministries, where we come alongside pastors and ministry leaders and missionaries and their families to refresh and restore them. We are so grateful that you're part of this, and the podcast is just one branch, one of seven branches that make up Romans 12 Ministries. And we do getaways, we do luncheons, we do one-on-one meetings with pastors and their families. We help with marriages. We really meet them where they are. And so your donations and your support and your partnership and your prayers mean so much to us. And we would just encourage you to go explore our website, which is Romans12Ministries.org. That's Romans 12, the number 12, ministries.org. And you can look through, you can see what we do. There's a donate button there that goes right to the podcast, as well as coming alongside these pastors and ministry leaders. So let's get back to Mr. Dave Drum. So one of the things that you said is this idea of, you know, build a bigger tribe.
Yes.
And I think these last 10 years with that group that you're talking about really has changed you.
It has.
But it hasn't, you haven't necessarily agreed with everybody, right?
Correct.
And that's okay.
That is okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's important.
But through, again, and I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but it's just been so significant. Through use of help me understand approach to conversation, I'm filled with a lot less vitriol over some of the political issues because I don't have to agree with them, but there are well thought out, biblically literate positions that land at a different place than where I do. And I have to respect it, even if I don't agree with it. even if I would counter from a different place. Let me just throw in another group that is active locally here in Tucson. And when I wrote the book, I hadn't learned about it yet, so it's not in Peace Talks. But over the last couple of years, it's gained a lot of traction. And it's a group called Braver Angels. And the whole function of Braver Angels is helping train people in civil, polite civil discourse over political issues. And they've got tens of thousands of people around the country. They're making an impact. And there's a Tucson chapter of Braver Angels. There's a Phoenix chapter now. And they offer workshops on, if you're red, but primarily in a blue environment, work or home, how do you manage to do that? Or vice versa, if you're blue in a primarily red environment, how can you navigate through that in a helpful way? And they've got some good resources. It's worth looking into.
Yeah, excellent. I'm not that's new to me.
Yeah.
So I did not know that. One of the questions that you've asked is, what did Jesus preach on the most? And when I heard it's the kingdom of God,
yeah,
I know that's near and dear to your heart.
It is.
I mean, J17 Ministries is really looking at the city church, the church universal. So what does that really mean to you when you hear that Jesus preached the most on the kingdom of God?
Well, one of the places where I think it can help us is that he was very clear when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. So the kingdom is never going to be reduced to a political party. The kingdom of God is always going to be bigger than one or the other political party, because my kingdom is not of this world. It's a heavenly kingdom. It has earthly implications. And so, again, we're called to engage in a democracy. We get to select our course in a lot of different directions with the people that we elect and the policies that we see implemented. So we have a responsibility to engage, but we always do so from a perspective that we're kingdom people, and the kingdom, my identity is not in a political party. I can engage with a political party, but that's not where my identity is. And if I find myself getting defensive when somebody makes a political statement that disagrees with my political views, then there's a pretty good possibility that I've over-identified with politics and started to forget that the kingdom is not of this world, and that my identity is not as a donkey or an elephant. My identity is in the Lamb of God, which is bigger than either one of those. And my identity is as a child of God, and that's primary. And all these other things are secondary. So I think getting clear on the kingdom of God can help us dramatically when it comes to engaging in political topics.
So I'm a pastor, I'm listening to this, and you've encouraged us to talk at the dinner table about different topics and agree humbly and with grace. But now I'm a pastor, and I am fearful to bring some of these topics from the pulpit.
Yep.
What advice would you give to that pastor?
Well, I probably wouldn't. If I was planting a new church, my first series probably wouldn't be on political topics.
or tithing.
Or, right. I probably wouldn't start there. I would make sure that I did a lot on a grace environment and make sure that we're excelling at grace as a church. Because you're going to need that, because we're not going to do political conversations perfectly. And we're going to need to be able to treat one another with grace to be able to engage in some of these topics. So I would make sure most pastors are pretty passionate about grace. So that's good. That'll help us. But I would start there. And if there are some areas where we're not treating each other with grace, let's talk about that. That's worthy of pulpit material. It's also worthy of small group material and lots of other places. But then let's just learn how to apply grace to our conversations, even politically. And a good way to do it might be to demonstrate. So get somebody that you've personally built friendships with who comes from a different background ethnically or denominationally or politically from you, and have a conversation with them and record the conversation. Let people just watch how that works. I know a number of pastors around Tucson that have done that, where they've engaged in conversations. Maybe it's over race. And so on the Martin Luther King weekend, they get somebody who's a different race and they interview them for the sermon and just have some conversation. That's a great way to enter in to some of these arenas, because we're demonstrating what we're talking about. A lot of times these things are caught more than they're taught. And so if we can demonstrate how to do this with grace, that's a stronger message than just do it with grace. Hmm.
You know, I think we have a tendency as we grow in our faith, there is a tendency as we grow in knowledge and understanding and we memorize scripture and we're having our quiet time and we're engaged in the community, that there is a tendency to move to pharisaical behavior.
Yeah.
And the law. And I think the grace, and I've heard you say that over and over and over, is so important. And I think that's obviously a message that Jesus, we're saved by grace.
Absolutely.
You know, Colossians, when you were talking, I was just thinking Colossians 3, it says this, and this is really the encouragement that we are to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness.
Yes.
And humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another.
Yep.
As we have been forgiven.
Yep.
I mean, if we are able to take that into the political discussion, that mindset of putting on those kind of qualities, I think there would be a lot of dancing.
Amen. You know, what is central to my ministry, when I first started writing the book on politics, Peace Talks, I thought maybe this is like a side hobby, but I eventually came to recognize, no, this is pretty central to our mission with J17 Ministries. Based on Jesus' John 17 prayer, he could have prayed about anything, and he prayed that we would learn how to love one another because that's how the world would come to recognize. There's no place in that prayer where it says, except where politics are concerned. There's no footnote anywhere in the Bible that says you can throw all of those good habits, clothe yourself with kindness, except where politics is concerned. There's no such footnote. So we're called to be responsible in loving one another well, even through political conversations. And if we could learn how to do that, not only would it make church more enjoyable, but it would be such a strong witness to the world around us. If we could learn how to do this in political conversations, I think many parts of the world would be knocking down our doors saying, give me some of what you have, because I don't know how to do that. I blow up when it comes to politics. So help me understand how you got to such a place of love and grace, because I'd like some of that.
That's beautiful. So this is a podcast of Stories of Hope. And yep. So November 8th is coming.
Yep.
My question to you is, what is your prayer and where do you see hope in this whole situation?
Well, Jesus is not up for election on November 8th. And so he will still be on the throne on November 9th, no matter what happens. No matter who gets elected, no matter who controls Congress, no matter all the things that matter, and they do matter, Jesus will still be on the throne. And so the important things are not, the ultimate things, let me put it that way, are not on the ballot. The ultimate things are secure. So there's great hope in that. And I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but the political conversation is not going away with it being a midterm election, all that means is the kickoff to the presidential election season starts November 9th. So we've got a lot of opportunity to practice because this is not going away. And every presidential election cycle that I can remember, I thought it was the most contentious one of my lifetime until the next one came along. And then it was even more contentious. And then it was even more contentious. And then it was even more contentious. So it's not a promising trajectory. So our hope needs to be in something greater than this world would be my first word of advice. But then my second one is, let's be part of the solution. Let's not just give in and dump down to a least common denominator way of handling politics. Let's do this. We can do this. Mm-hmm. We can be salt and light in this arena as well.
Well, Dave Drum, I got to tell you, I have gotten to know, since I'm old, gotten to know people who have written books. And when I've talked to them about it, I don't think they model what they wrote. And that's always sad for me. You're just the opposite. You have written this, you're passionate about it, you live it out, you're modeling it for us. And I just want to say thank you for taking those probably late nights when you're sitting writing and you wish you could be doing something else and you're thinking, is this really worth it? Is anybody going to read this? Will this actually impact anything? It will, it has, and it will continue. So thank you for your faithfulness and for modeling what you're talking about.
Well, thank you very much. Those words mean a lot to me. I appreciate that a great deal.
Thank you for joining us today at another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast sponsored by Romans 12 Ministries. For more information on Romans 12 Ministries, visit us at romans12ministries.org or give us a call at 520-982-5877. May we all continue to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.